Chapter 2. Wells. The Chancellor had aged. Although it had been less than 6 weeks since Wells had seen his father, he looked years older. There were new streaks of gray by his temples, and the lines around his eyes had deepened. "Are you finally going to tell me why you did it?" the Chancellor asked with a tired sigh. Wells shifted in his chair. He could feel the truth trying to claw its way out. He'd give almost anything to erase the disappointment on his father's face, but he couldn't risk it. Not before he learned whether his reckless plan had actually worked. Wells avoided his father's gaze by glancing around the room, trying to memorize the relics he might be seeing for the last time. The eagle skeleton perched in a glass case, the few paintings that had survived the burning of the Louvre, and the photos of the beautiful dead cities whose names never ceased to send chills down Wells' spine. "Was it a dare? Were you trying to show off for your friends?" The Chancellor spoke in the same low, steady tone he used during council hearings, then raised an eyebrow to indicate that it was Wells' turn to talk. "No, sir." "Were you overcome by some temporary bout of insanity? Were you on drugs?" There was a faint note of hopefulness in his voice that, in another situation, Wells might have found amusing. But there was nothing humorous about the look in his father's eyes. A combination of weariness and confusion that Wells hadn't seen since his mother's funeral. "No, sir." Wells felt a fleeting urge to touch his father's arm, but something other than the handcuffs shackling his wrists kept him from reaching across the desk. Even as they had gathered around the release portal, saying their final silent goodbyes to Wells' mother, they'd never bridged the 6 inches of space between their shoulders. It was as if Wells and his father were two magnets, the charge of their grief repelling them apart. "Was it some kind of political statement?" His father winced slightly, as though the thought hit him like a physical blow. "Did someone from Walden or Arcadia put you up to this?" "No, sir," Wells said, biting back his indignation. His father had apparently spent the past 6 weeks trying to recast Wells as some kind of rebel, reprogramming his memories to help him understand why his son, formerly a star student and now the highest-ranked cadet, had committed the most public infraction in history. But even the truth would do little to mitigate his father's confusion. For the Chancellor, nothing could justify setting fire to the Eden Tree, the sapling that had been carried onto Phoenix right before the Exodus. Yet, for Wells, it hadn't been a choice. Once he discovered that Clark was one of the 100 being sent to Earth, he'd had to do something to join them. And as a Chancellor's son, only the most public of infractions would land him in confinement. Wells remembered moving through the crowd at the remembrance ceremony, feeling the weight of hundreds of eyes on him, his hand shaking as he removed the lighter from his pocket and produced a spark that glowed brightly in the gloom. For a moment, everyone had stared in silence as the flames wrapped around the tree. And even as the guards rushed forward in sudden chaos, no one had been able to miss whom they were dragging away. "What the hell were you thinking?" the Chancellor asked, staring at him in disbelief. "You could have burned down the whole hall and killed everyone in it." It would be better to lie. His father would have an easier time believing that Wells had been carrying out a dare. Or perhaps he could try to pretend he had been on drugs. Either of those scenarios would be more palatable to the Chancellor than the truth, that he'd risked everything for a girl.